What's your favorite scary cocktail?
If you've been searching for the perfect way to elevate your horror movie nights, look no further. Cocktails from the Crypt is here to satiate even the most bloodthirsty killers with a collection of chilling cocktail recipes. Created by us, your favorite podcasters and all-around weirdos, this horror movie cocktail recipe book is packed with movie trivia, cocktail tips, and hair-raising drinks crafted to pair seamlessly with the most iconic movies the horror genre has to offer.
Cocktails from the Crypt features 60 sinister sips, each designed to transport you into the heart of your favorite horror films, including the Texas Chainsaw Margarita, Freddy's Boilermaker, and the Frankenstein Fizz.
Don't miss your chance to be among the first to own this ultimate horror movie night companion. Pre-order Cocktails from the Crypt now from your favorite retailer, like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Bookshop.org, Chapters Indigo, and Blackwell's. Or just head to nofspodcast.com/go for the links.
And don't forget to follow Nightmare on Film Street on social media for sneak peeks and behind-the-scenes glimpses from the making of Cocktails from the Crypt.
Join us! Is déjà vu more than just a quirk of the brain? Is there always a rational explanation for the paranormal? Should one believe reports of unexplained phenomena? If you've asked yourself these questions before, follow in the footsteps of paranormal podcaster Blake Elrich and delve into the mysteries of the Unknown Nine universe.
Unknown Nine Awakening is the action-adventure video game at the heart of the Unknown Nine narrative universe. You play as Haruna, an audacious heroine with the ability to venture into the Fold, a mysterious dimension that overlaps our own. On her quest for powerful hidden knowledge, Haruna, who's portrayed by Anya Chalotra, will learn to master her unique connection to the Fold, which allows her to channel its powers into our world. But such power does not go unnoticed. She quickly becomes the target of the Ascendants, a splinter faction of a secret society known as the Leap Year Society, who want to use the Fold to alter the course of human history. Their confrontation will take them across the world, from the sands of Mauritania and perilous Indian jungles to the gothic landscapes of Portugal.
Get ready to dive into a mysterious paranormal dimension. Unknown 9 Awakening releases on October 18th, 2024 for PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. Pre-order your copy today and learn more about the Unknown 9 universe at unknown9.com/nightmare. That's unknown9.com/nightmare.
It's easy to create your dream kitchen with Clearview Cabinetry at Menards. With multiple finishes to choose from, you'll be sure to find a style that fits perfect for you. Clearview Cabinetry offers features like soft closed doors and drawers as standard and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Explore Clearview's cabinet options and start designing today in store or on Menards.com, where you can find more of our great deals going on now.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
And this week we are continuing our No Dead Doggos double feature with Prey from 2022?
2022.
Crime that this movie didn't go to theaters. Let's just start there.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering when it would come up. It's a fucking crime. Shame. God damn it. We've talked about it a million times. No One Will Save You, another movie that we covered on the podcast, which did not have a theatrical release. I would have loved to have seen it in the theater. Plays fine at home, but goddamn, this was made for the big screen, motherfuckers.
It's crazy that we're in an era of like Skinamarink and Terrifier and all of these indie horror movies going to the theater, and this like cinematic horror masterpiece, sci-fi gem
yep.
was like straight to streaming. I appreciated crime. That as soon as I heard of it, I could watch it. Like, I love that. That's fun. But it is so gorgeous. How dare they? Mm-hmm. How very dare they?
How very dare. Prey is one of the best action movies that's come out in the last while. It's an action movie with a fucking alien set in the 1700s. Like, we're talking an alien with high tech, a predator, who goes up against people
as
who
known
have...
as.
Yeah, who goes up against people with axes and bows and arrows, and that's kind of about it. But what it doesn't have is... it doesn't have human intelligence. It doesn't have the smarts to beat these people. It relies on its tech, and it fucking loses. And you know the one thing it doesn't have?
Who relies on their tech? Modern day human.
I mean, that's true. None of us would win in a fight against the Predator, but like the other thing that the Predator does not have that makes it completely unmatched is that it does not have an adorable dog.
Oh. I see you bringing it around to the theme. I gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah, this movie was such a surprise. I'm not huge on the Predator franchise, which clearly is a mistake because I know this movie is a detour from the franchise a little bit. It's a prequel. It's very original. It very much stands on its own. But I'm kind of vibing with the Predator right now.
I gotta tell you, it's great that you haven't seen the movies because this movie suffers from like the franchise sequelitis that every movie does. It's full of callbacks. It's repeating
really?
The same. Oh, yeah. Like, this is through and through.
I loved it. I was like, not a callback. No weird.
Well, it helps when you haven't seen any of the other movies.
No weird one-liners I'm supposed to know.
Nobody says get to the chopper. Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, it's it a lot like The Force Awakens. It retreads some of the same beats, but I think it does it in an incredibly unique, original way. As much as I roll my eyes at all those moments, I mostly just have to remind myself that I'm the nerd that's seen all those movies that remembers all those bits, so fuck me, I guess.
But those bits are made for people like you,
and I hate them.
Ooh, quit, stop it, I don't want it.
Yeah, it's just weird when I watch movies now, and everybody goes nuts for those moments, like, if it bleeds, we can kill it. And you're like, yeah, that's a great line. It was a great line back in the 80s, too.
And you're in the back just brewing Haterade.
Yeah, I'm just drinking. And Haterade nonstop watching this shit.
Well, I dug it. I honestly, maybe my favorite prequel ever.
It's pretty great.
I guess this is the beginning of the show, and I can start with that.
I mean, he's only got two movies under his belt, but Dan Trachtenberg fucking killing it. Like two out of two.
Only two? Isn't he Cloverfield?
10 Cloverfield Lane is his other directorial debut. He's written a lot of stuff. He's directed a lot of other stuff.
10 Cloverfield's a banger.
He directed one of the best episodes of Black Mirror. But as far as feature films go...
Well, he should keep going.
He should. I don't know. They have, like Crawl, they have announced that they're making another Prey movie.
That's great.
I don't know if it's Dan Trachtenberg again. I think it is.
I hope they do continue in this like prequel zone, but I would love for it to be different eras. I want to see French diplomats fighting. I want to see more muskets.
You
want
to see Napoleon going against the
diplomats? Yeah, I do. I want to see all of the different... And we can go through different like eras of weaponry.
Oh, sure.
And different tactics. Like, I want to see some trebuchets being hurled.
And it's doing nothing. It's just like, pff, whatever.
Shield up.
Basically, yeah, that shield does everything. That'd be fun. Yeah, I want to see it go up against... the Greek gods. Like, I want a really weird Clash of the Titans, but the Predator's there fighting all the evil monsters. He's taking on 100 skeletons.
Or he ends up in the Colosseum and he's doing like a gladiator fight.
Oh God, if this was Gladiator 2, I'd be buying a ticket right
Fuck
now.
Fuck yeah. Gladiator versus Predator.
The ultimate fight. Holy fuck. That'd be amazing. Yeah, we got to get you to see Predator 2. I'll talk a little bit more about that.
I was reading some of the different Predators. I want to watch the 2010 Predator. That one sounds fun.
Which, the 2010 Predator?
I feel like it's Hunger Games Predator.
Oh, Predators, right?
With sure.
With Lawrence Fishburne?
Yeah.
Fishburne? That's a good one. Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of people in that movie, including Topher Grace. Actually, surprisingly, very good movie. I mean, we were all blown away by how much you really dug Alien versus Predator.
I know, so. And I learned that people don't like it. And
you were like, this might be the best of the franchise. Okay, so as somebody obsessed with Prey, this was, I think, very high on your top 10 of 2022 list as well. Like, you were nuts about this movie. What are our three good things about Prey for anybody who hasn't seen it?
Yeah, unfortunately, like, we just, like, loaded the top with tons of things. Like,
I don't
favorite
have anything
prequel
else to say.
Ever. Dog in it. There's a dog in it.
Yeah.
That's the theme of the episode. The soft theme.
No dead doggos and a doggo that is a fucking force to be reckoned with.
Sari's
a
fucking champ. She/he, I'm not sure if it's a girl. It looks like a girl.
Yeah.
Just disappears for like several important moments for the movie, but we forgive her because she comes back and she's like a super helpful dog.
She's like, hey, what's up? I got a fish.
And she took on a fucking bear.
Yeah.
She was like, no, I got this. You're unarmed right now. I got this. I'm gonna just run.
Yeah, I think it was, he was, Coco, the dog in real life, was the MVP when this movie came out originally. Everybody was so surprised at how great the dog was in this movie. And
Coco's a superstar.
Yeah, we all learned that there was supposed to be way less dog in the movie, but when they realized how great they were on camera, they're like, well, let's just write a couple more scenes. Let's have it fight a bear. Let's fucking go. Yeah, number one with a bullet, definitely Coco. Number two's got to be, I hate saying cinematography. We've talked about how cool that looks. Let's just say number two is when the fucking predator just, like, drinks a bear. Like, takes on a whole-ass bear like it's nothing. I love just the design of the predator in this movie. It's a little bit different than the rest of them. It's a little bit more, you know, sleek. And the bone mask, like the helmet that it wears, is just so fucking rad.
Is that different from the other franchises? Like, is he wearing a more advanced mask in the future?
They often look sort of like titanium.
That's really cool then. It's like the predators themselves are in their hunter-gatherer phase. They have crazy tech, but the fact that the mask is a lesser advanced version is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, they all look very, very similar, but it's just like its own little unique touches. It also just works with the setting. Like,
all right, you want to hear my number three?
I gotta hear
you. You're going to be really sad that you didn't come up with it.
Oh.
Hatchet on a string, motherfucker.
That's true. That is pretty fucking rad.
There's a really great moment when she's fighting French fur trappers, and she pulls the hatchet from via string, not from hatchet, from one guy's face straight into another guy's face. It was amazing.
Yeah, she may as well have been Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, right? Damn.
So good.
She's a lethal weapon with that thing.
Well, she took down a predator with a hatchet on a string. Like, let's
she took down a predator with her own smarts.
Credit where credit's due.
All right. We're going to toss this trailer when we get back. We're going to try and find some other stuff to talk about Prey. I mean, I don't think it's going to be hard. This movie's fucking amazing.
Why do you want to hunt?
Because you all think that I can't. I saw a sign in the sky. I'm ready.
Maui Nita.
It knows how to hunt. I know how to survive.
Prey from 2022 on Disney Plus and Hulu is currently sitting at 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb and 94% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Holla.
With an audience rating of 74%.
Incorrect.
And a 3.6 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Letterboxd. Bump that up to a 4. What are you doing?
Come on, Letterboxd. Just get it. Guys, get it in there. If you watch this movie and you remember it being as great as it is, just give it an extra half a point.
Honestly, I think I like this even more on the second watch.
Yeah.
It is just, it boogies. It's got tons of action. You are never bored. The story's great. The characters are unique and interesting. It's just like firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, we got to pick up a physical copy of it. Like, there's a 4K copy that we can get that's going to look amazing.
Especially because our forest internet kind of sucks.
Yeah, our forest internet sucks a little bit. It's nice to know that, like, it's probably not going anywhere.
Like,
it's
I'm sure this is crisper than I'm seeing it, and it's crisp.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I'm running out of emails to get free trials on Disney Plus. We don't have Hulu in Canada, so we watch it on Disney Plus.
Yeah, our forest address is like a multiplex. It's like a high-rise condo in the middle of the woods. They're somebody, like, there's a lot of units in this house.
So the thing about that is, like, they smartened up to it a little while ago, and they're like, this is the same credit card. You can't get another free month, but we changed banks not long ago. So I got new cards, baby.
Oh, man. Okay, so I have a Predator theory, and I want to hear if you... if you vibe with it.
Okay. I hate this because you always come at me like I'm the expert who's seen these movies. I've got Predator tattoos or something. Like, I watched them as a kid. No, I have not revisited them.
You don't have to be a huge Predator junkie to vibe with this theory. Okay. Because, so this is a prequel. We're following the Predator on his kind of journey through the woods, and he's getting increasingly larger creatures. Like, he starts with a snake, mm-hmm. He beheads a wolf, and he takes the skull as a trophy. Then he spots the bear, and he's going after the bear, and then he goes after the Native American tribe that happens to be shooting arrows at him. Do you think this is his first encounter with humanity? Do you think this is the Predator's first human hunt? Are they just going, like, because I, from what I believe, and this might be incorrect, is that it's like a Rumspringa or like a coming of age thing. Like, the Predator, it's like a youth Predator that's sent down, and they have to get like their human trophy kill, and then they get to be like a Predator hunter back in Predator land.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Similar to what Naru's trying to do. Like, she's trying to go off on the hunt to prove herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's 100% what it is. Okay. Like, anytime that you see a Predator,
it's
in
like
the
a modern day reality TV show where they like put you in the woods naked and they're like, you have to come back.
Yeah, they've all got GoPros strapped on them. Everybody at home's just like, oh, that fucking idiot. We lost another one. Yeah, no, that's what it always is. I mean, they don't really go into it in too much detail, I think, in the first one. I can't remember. I think they just sort of suss out that it's on a hunting trip, but that is essentially the mythology of the Predator, is that they come down. These are the youth that are earning their stripes,
mm-hmm.
and they're becoming men by hunting all of, like, they need to become the apex Predator. So essentially they're here to take on everything that is an enemy or a anything that is hunting them, right? They need to become top dog.
Mm-hmm. So, but I'm assuming in the other installments that humans are the target. Like, humans are the what we're specifically going for.
I don't know. I mean, in Alien vs. Predator, it really kind of seems like the aliens are
okay,
just the
shut
target.
Up, John. That one does not count.
And Predator
and,
2.
I mean, that is a perfect species.
Have you read anything about Predator 2? With Danny Glover?
Isn't it in L.A.?
Yeah, it's set in L.A. The urban jungle, Kim. God, it's good. You gotta watch. I have it on VHS. We really need to watch Predator 2.
Okay, but back
it
to
It has
my...
the dumbest ending.
Okay, but to the theory. Let's focus on the theory.
Yeah.
Do we think this is the first encounter with humanity? Like, before they were bringing back wolves and cougars and snakes and bears?
That's a good question. I mean, how often do they come? I don't know if it's their first. It's definitely this Predator's first encounter with everything.
Yeah, because, like, what was the population of humanity at this time?
In the 1700s?
We just had settlers and stuff.
Well, you're thinking the population of humanity in North America.
I am.
You got to remember, the rest of the world's been kicking for a long time.
Yeah, but kicking, but also, like, with dysentery and shit.
Okay, well, they still had, like...
They were having 8 kids, but... 7 of them died.
They had like 1,000 crusades before the 1700s.
And they killed everyone.
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't
so
think...
So let's say there's what? 20,000 people on Earth.
Sure.
You think there's more than that?
Okay, I don't 100,000 care people on how Earth. Many people there are on Earth. I don't know if it matters.
I guess maybe the Predator was hunting cave people.
It had to be. And that's
Maybe this
I
is
hope.
The first time they encountered a human with weapons.
Maybe. I mean, it depends how often they come back. Like, I don't know if they're coming
every summer. My theory's crumbling
summer.
The more I talk about it. Damn it.
All you asked was, like, do I think if it's this or that? I'm like, I don't know, maybe.
Well,
I don't
just,
have a solid answer
I
for
was
you.
Just contemplating while I was watching the film why the Predator was spending so much time hunting animals and it wasn't seeking out humans, but maybe like they've come to North America before and it hasn't been a populated area. Maybe this is really a junior predator and he was just going to hunt mammals.
I would expect that they dropped him off in an area where they knew that there were lots of other predators. Not like predator aliens, but like other predators on the animal food chain. Like, mm-hmm. We got bears, we got wild cats. Like, there's a lot for him to go up against in this area. Like, they wouldn't drop him off in like the Antarctic and be like, all right man, kill a fucking penguin. You know, they wouldn't do that. There's no point. There's, I guess, a polar bear. They're only in the Antarctic. Mm-hmm. They're not in one of them. I never remember which one. Wait. I hope to never be on a trivia show.
North? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, the northern half. I think, is there nothing on the southern half?
Penguins.
We got to cut this from the podcast. I would love a predator in, like, the Ice Age. That's what I'm hoping they do.
Where there's very few things to hunt.
Yeah, like, we've just got sharpened sticks. We've got mammoths.
We just learned about fire.
Saber-toothed tigers. That would be fucking rad.
Saber-toothed tigers would be cool.
Yeah. I don't think the predator would have a hard time with them. I mean, it can fight a xenomorph, and they got acid for blood. When we talk about the Predator, do you want me to pretend the Alien vs. Predator movies don't exist? Because I can see you going like, ugh, every time I bring it up.
Well, it's just, that's not, like, let's pretend that's not canon, like, it happens, but it's way in the future. Prey does not know about Alien vs. Predator.
Okay, sure. Yeah, let's focus the conversation on just the movie we watched last night. I could do that.
One thing I do really enjoy about the movie is that Neru, our lead character, she's a tracker.
Yeah.
Like, she wants to be a hunter. She doesn't want to be a gatherer like the women are.
Yeah.
She wants to be, you know, out with the boys and hunting. And obviously the whole kind of plot of the story is that they don't think she's up to snuff. But they're not giving her a chance. No. Yeah. But she's a really great tracker. And what's great about this is that she isn't just tracking the predator, because the regular predators that are in and about the woods are also leaving tracks on top of this predator. And there's a really great moment when we find out that this is settler times, and she happens upon a field and there's a ton of skinned bison.
Mm-hmm.
She knows instinctively that this isn't the MO of the predator. Like, the predator isn't, you know, skinning things for fuck's sake. Like, the bison weren't attacking the predator. The predator doesn't care about the bison.
I don't know if she knows that yet. I think that what tips her off probably is that very early in the movie, she encounters a trap, like a bear trap. And it's made of chain. And she's like, this is fucking weird. I've never seen this before.
I love how she's not fazed by things. She just takes them in. She's like, there's something really big out there. It's got a foot that's the size of a 3-foot long stick.
Yeah.
I'm going to go hunt it with my hatchet and my dog.
Well, that's what's great about her as a character, because she's not a hunter. She's a leader. And she's an incredibly smart person, and she takes all of her knowledge and intuition and puts it into the investigation of what's happening. Because the guys around her, her brother included, who's like an incredible hunter, like he's got a knack for it. He's a natural. He can do what nobody else can. But they're like the predator. They're just going out.
Very laser focused.
Laser focused.
They're not looking at the bigger picture.
They're trying to be the toughest guy in the jungle. They're trying to be the apex predator, right? Like, you come across a lion and you go, this is as far as you go. And you stare it down and you defeat it. There's nothing else beyond that. It's literally just muscle on muscle.
Mm.
She is taking in a lifetime of accumulated knowledge and applying it to every scenario. She knows about medicine. She knows about tracking. She has deductive skills that they just don't. Like, they would see the buffalo or the bison or whatever it is that's completely skinned. They go, oh, gross, you know, and just move on.
Mm-hmm.
They would just like look for footprints. Whereas she's trying to deduce what this all is. I think you're right though. I think she knows that it's not the predator because I don't know if that it has a different MO, because she's really creeped out by the fact that something skinned the snake. And she's like, what would do that? Like, an animal wouldn't do that. I think she probably knows that I don't know. I think everything's up in the air, because it seems like the traps that she's finding the buffalo and her dog in don't match whatever this giant fucking like lightning in the sky is that's yeah. coming for them.
Well, and she's able to determine that it's not just a mountain lion in the beginning. Like, she's able to differentiate diverging tracks and evidence from different beings. And she's able to be like, no, it's not just this. And when she comes back after having survived the bear, she's like, it wasn't just a bear. There was also a predator.
Yeah. And he's fucking invisible.
Like I was fucking saying the whole time. She, you know, as much credit as we're giving her, though, she's not a great hunter until the very end. She almost dies in that bear attack quite a lot.
This is a job that you have to get experience
in the field.
Yeah, in the field, on the job. Like, they don't let her go out and do anything. Like, she's just green. It's not that she's bad. She's just inexperienced.
This is very true.
Let's not forget, the word amateur doesn't mean that you're lacking in something. Like, I think the etymology of that word comes from a love of something.
But I mean,
being
knocked unconscious in a mountain lion fight, you generally don't get a second shot at that.
No.
She's quite lucky somebody carried her home.
It did look like she threw a spear in that mountain lion before she hit the ground, but you're right. She would probably just wake up in the afterlife.
Wake up dead.
We might be too old for free candy, but we're not gonna let that stop us from having a ghoul time. This October, we're playing Trick or Treat with the Spirits of Halloween over in the Nightmare on Film Street Fiend Club at Patreon.
Each week, we're gonna be pulling movies at random from our spooky Trick or Treat basket. It's a Halloween boo bucket from McDonald's. And we're either going to be given a treat, that's a horror movie we really want to talk about, or a trick, a horror movie we hoped we'd never have to discuss in public.
Join us as we let the spirit of Halloween take the wheel and play Trick or Treat with the Nightmare on Film Street podcast. You can find those episodes only at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub.
Or patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet. I was just thinking, like, in my initial theory that, like, maybe the predator was cool and dandy to go home once it got its bear skull.
I think they come back after a set period of time.
Oh, okay. So it's like, how many points did you get?
Yeah, basically. Like, I think the goal is to try and get as many skulls. Like, don't show up with 100 raccoon skulls. You know, show up with one skull and each one bigger than the last. Bigger and best than the last.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then that's why these movies always end with them fighting humans, right? Because, like, oh, yeah, you thought the panther was tough,
and humans,
but have you seen Schwarzenegger?
Humans won't just stay out of their own way. Like, we learn, and I learned because I don't watch other Predator movies,
yeah,
that they're very specific with their targets. Like, they will only fight another foe, another predator.
Mm-hmm.
They specifically, in their cool red eye vision, are looking for weapons and are looking for antagonists.
Well, yeah, because if you're not a danger, what's the point?
Yeah, like, if you were to throw down your bow and arrow and try to give it, like, a piece of bread, it wouldn't shoot at you.
Yeah, it's the Sleepy Hollow rules, right?
Like, once you've crossed the bridge.
No, the Brom. It's just like, he doesn't care about Brom.
The Brom. He's not after you.
Exactly.
Once you cross the bridge.
Yeah, no, he's
Sleepy Hollow Predator crossover when?
That'd be incredible.
I would love to see a predator riding a horse.
That
would be good for our other Prey prequels. Predator on a horse.
But you probably want to watch, it's not the greatest one, but like the newest Shane Black, or not newest.
Is there
but
a Predator on a horse?
I think it's just called Predator.
Why are they all just called Predator?
Well, there's the Predator. There's Predator. Because that's just how you do stuff. Either you slap a the on it or you take the away and it's a whole new movie.
Like,
it's not
everyone's
favorite.
We just want to be the top of Google search.
But he's got dogs in that one. There's predator dogs.
Predator dogs?
Predator dogs. I mean, it's fine. Yeah, I mean, you'll like it. It's big, dumb.
It's trash, so you'll enjoy
idiots.
It.
Yeah.
Do they all have the same hair?
Pretty much, yeah. They all have the sort of like alien dreads.
Have they ever done a girl predator?
I mean...
Have we ever seen a girl?
I think there might be one, and I honestly, I'm not sure.
I'm gonna see a lady predator.
But I think ultimately the whole predator mission is just like, we're gonna drop you down, we'll pick you up in a month. Like, the goal with the predator, which is the same with the humans when they're fighting these things, is just survival. I mean, that's a big statement in the movie, and I think that's just ultimately its goal. Like, if you're not going to attack me, like, you are no threat, then I don't care about you. I don't even see you if you're not a threat.
There was a great kind of thematic parallel between how the Aboriginal tribe handle hunting and how the predator handles hunting, in terms of, like, the predator is only hunting other predators, and the tribe kind of established, especially to Nehru, who's very green, that we're not just hunting for the sake of hunting. We're hunting for survival. We're either hunting to eat or we're hunting to not be killed.
Yeah.
We're not just taking trophies. I mean, the Predator is just taking trophies.
Predator 100% just
But there
trophies.
Is a very like principled nature to their hunting, and it's very counter to what the French settlers are doing, what those fucking dastardly Canadians are doing. We're definitely at the HBC right now. Fuck you, Hudson's Bay Company.
Yeah, they barely exist.
They're just, they're slaughtering animals for pelts, for fashion.
Nothing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For trading.
Yeah, they're a great little peppering into this movie.
Mm-hmm,
they're
like a little great. Side foe. Ups the body count, like, massively.
Yeah, and they're a bit of a red herring, right? Because you, as a viewer, might think that it's the Predator going around skinning all these bison. Like, I mean, we've seen
but
it before.
But it's not his M.O.
No, it's not his M.O. We know pretty quickly. Also, like, it also encounters the skinned bison, and it's like, what the fuck is this? And it sees, it singles out the sort of, like, leaf that Nehru places on its head, and it knows that, like, this is done by somebody different than the person that skinned these things. So, like, it starts, it's like it's hunting her at that point. And yeah, like, I love the parallel between the two of them. Yeah.
There is a great moment when she does get trapped in the bear trap, and she becomes a victim at this point. She's seen no longer as an immediate threat by the Predator, and the Predator realizes that she is being hunted by something else, mm-hmm. and doesn't immediately attack her, and it's what leads him to all of the French settlers.
Well, yeah, because at that point, it's just, this is just bait. So, like, I'll just leave the bait.
And that's how she learns, like, oh, they don't go after bait.
Yeah.
They're not after bait.
She's so goddamn smart.
She is so smart.
I mean, the writers of the movie are smart, but as a character.
I do love how much, like, medicine usage there is.
Amazing.
And how much she's using the, like, the flowers and all the mortar and pestle action.
One of the best. Like, there are plenty of sequences where we see what they're doing and what the Predator's doing, and he's got, like, his high-tech fucking, like, I'm gonna
yeah,
put
my alien.
Yeah,
he's just, like, fucking glue suturing himself with,
yeah,
like, the future.
It is, exactly. And then meanwhile, we cut over to her just like grinding up like the roots of a flower and placing it on a wound. And it's so it's essentially exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Like, they're perfectly paired. Their motivations are also the same because they are essentially on the same hunt. They are out here to prove themselves to their respective tribes. And it's just so.
So there is a lady Predator.
Oh, you're saying that it's not Rue?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. She won.
Yeah, and like they don't put aside their differences, but they're sort of like fighting side by side to kill the fur trappers. It's
game
one
see game.
It's one of the greatest sequences of the movie. It looks fucking amazing. Like, they're in this burnt out forest. So many heads getting cut off. There's that net that just like turns a guy into minced meat.
Yeah, fucking Swiss cheese that guy.
Oh, it's so fucking good. Yeah, I love that they think they could fight this guy. Even when one of them has his legs cut off, or has one of his feet cut off, and he offers her a gun, like, here, this is that you'll use this to protect yourself. Like, sure, 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 sure. Like, he still thinks his stupid little pistol that takes a week and a half to reload is going to do anything the alien.
That's a great moment when they shoot at the Predator and he just looks at them and they all have to reload at the yeah. same time. Fucking loved it.
Man, it is so
musket
silly.
Moment.
Just punch him. Like, it's gonna do as much damage. You might as well try.
There are moments, and I feel like you probably get this with every Predator movie, when the Predator's fighting and it's just like, man, you're kind of cheating.
Yeah.
Like, I get this is a coming of age thing, and it's like, who's the apex Predator? Like, maybe just use your fists, bro.
You're so outmatched.
Yeah, you are kind of cheating. Like, at least put that fancy shield down.
Yeah,
that can
I mean,
slice heads off.
And I think that's integral, right? Because, like, you need to feel, like, as an audience member, you need to feel like
he's the baddie?
He's the baddie. You're rooting
because
against
he's
him.
He's cheating?
He's kind of cheating from the very beginning. It's never a fair fight. Otherwise, you might.
He can heat-seek humans.
Exactly. So that's that integral moment in all of these movies.
Have you seen that, like, Robaxa set meme where it's like what the Predator sees when he's hunting me and it's just like somebody with back pain?
I mean, I haven't, but I can see it in my mind right now.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, and like, the movie Prey does a great job with its sort of like exposition, like telling you things that you don't necessarily realize immediately are going to be callbacks for the end of the film. So many movies suffer from this, where like the entire story or like a scene pauses for somebody to tell you something about like Oh, don't forget to unplug this, otherwise we all might get electrocuted and for standing in an inch of water later on at the end of the movie. You know, like things that are going to just come back. But I think it's because they make it so interesting. Like, we're learning about how the tribe works and like their tools and their medicine. Mm-hmm. And it's just like we're just sort of involved in their community and seeing their way of life. And later on, you know, it shows that she's smarter because she's provided a whole bunch of medicine to a guy who's mortally wounded. And he's like frigid and cold, and he's like asking for a blanket as they're going back to the tribe. And, you know, she doesn't let anybody put a blanket on
him. Oh, it's like a great line. Right? Do you want him to be comfortable or do you want him to be dead?
Yeah, exactly. And so she uses that, and she explains that it's slowing down his entire like system. It's slowing down his bleeding. It's cooling his body temperature. And then later on, she realizes, because she's provided the same medicine to one of the fur trappers, that the predator can't see him. That's how she learns that it's, you know, thermal imaging. So she takes the medicine herself. It's what makes her invisible. She's using his own weapons against him. Like, she's stolen his mask and she's using
his leg cutter offer.
His leg cutter offer and his like heat seeking darts. That's all from the first movie as well.
It's like using his own weapons against him?
Well, a little bit. So, I mean, in the end of the first Predator, you've got Arnold Schwarzenegger making all of these...
Arnold Schwarzenegger just didn't punch his head off, or...
Kinda. I mean, he booby traps the forest, you know, like
he home alones him.
Yeah, in one montage,
love
he like
that.
Cuts down a bunch of trees, you know, makes a bunch of traps.
9 to 5.
And he covers himself in cold mud, and he just sort of like blends into the background.
I
so like
it.
The predator doesn't
think
see
we're
him.
Gonna have a predator-a-thon soon, John. I'm vibing with the predator right now. Me and him are BFFs.
Okay, well, I mean, I gotta tell you the end of Predator 2. Without giving all the details away, but basically...
Is it like the Jason Takes Manhattan where he like punches that guy's head off and it ends up in a dumpster?
I mean, I wish. There are a lot of great moments in Predator 2. Bill Paxton's in it, and he's...
Of course he is! Of course he is! Oh, we got a sequel to an action film? Somebody call Bill Paxton.
We need a crazy cop? Get him right now. Yeah, he's... Danny Glover is like a homicide investigator who's come across these skinned
bodies. And he's one day to retire.
He's been one day to retirement since 1981. Yeah, he is coming across these skinned bodies, you know, stuff that they're missing, like their spine and their skull.
I love when he took the spine out of that wolf.
So fucking cool,
like,
right?
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking rad. And so, like, it's essentially Danny Glover, an LA cop, up against the Predator.
Did he handcuff him at any point? I would have loved that.
At the end of the movie, though, like, the Predator's like, you are truly one of my greatest foes, you know? And he's in the Predator ship, and they gift him because he's been such an adversary.
Did they give him a badge?
They deputize him. They give him a gun, and it's the fucking pistol from this movie. So, I mean, I would expect that Prey 2 is going to be a sequel that's taking
place. It's like
place
a musket?
At, yeah,
type
he, they give
gun?
Him the musket, and it's got that fucking guy's name on it, and it's got the date. And everybody's like, what the fuck is
what
this?
What does it
like,
mean?
They literally have like a cabinet of like different weapons, and you assume that, like, oh, these are people that the. Like, there's like a Wild West cowboy hat
how did
and
they
stuff.
Get it if.
Exactly. It's dumb. They shouldn't have fucking done it.
Confusion.
I don't know. It's just like one of the dumbest callbacks in Prey.
That's
but
very
it's...
interesting. It doesn't, it like doesn't quite align with the ending of this movie unless they kill that entire tribe and take that gun.
Well, yeah, unless there's another movie, right? Like there's probably another movie. It's going to take place after this one.
I don't want a Prey sequel to be in the exact same place.
Oh, it's going to be. This was a fucking hit. People loved it.
Yeah, but you can do more Preys and put them. In Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, no, but like people were like really stoked that they did like a full dub in Comanche for this movie. They're gonna do another one for
that's
sure.
Cool. That's fucking
it's
cool.
It's the first movie that's ever done it. Also, at the end of the movie, during the credits, I didn't notice this at first, but the end credits of the movie, how we're looking at sort of like the hide paintings.
Mm-hmm.
It's the story of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so you couldn't point that out to me?
Sorry. Most movies end like that.
Like, we're like, here's the story again.
Yeah.
I like a montage during the credits where everybody like looks at the camera and smiles.
I like when they do photos with like the cast and crew's like families.
Oh, like here's us with all of our babies.
Or like here's us fucking up on set. Those are fun too.
Yeah, bloopers. Everybody loves a blooper
bloopers,
reel.
Right.
It's weird that they included that little detail about the pistol in the end of this one, because it has forever been one of the dumbest moments in Hollywood for me.
Because it would
the
have
end
been
of
just
Predator
such a
2.
Mystery, right? Like, it has no explanation.
Oh, none of us have had any answers for, like, 30 years. Like, we all grew up watching Predator 2. We were like, what the fuck is up with that gun? We've all been laughing about it, and now we've got this dope action movie taking it seriously. They shouldn't have included it.
It seems like that must have been the nugget for the idea. Like, that's where Prey
the whole
from.
Movie came from that
Is
gun?
They're like, we need to explain the gun, but not well.
I mean, you know, in those tiny little bits aside, it is still one of the best Predator movies, for sure. I think it's my favorite Predator
Yeah,
movie.
I think it's the best Predator movie out of all of
As
them.
As someone who's seen all of
oh,
them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's so badass. I mean, we didn't even talk about, like, the end fight sequence where she gets him in the... Stuck in the muck, the same way she was. That's a great little moment in the movie, too. Like, it's real tense. Like, oh, is she gonna get out? She's the lead character. I can't believe they're gonna kill the lead character 40 minutes into the movie. I just love how much she outsmarts him and uses every tool in her arsenal against him, including some of his own. Don't mess with humans, I guess, is the ultimate story of all these
movies.
Yeah,
I just like that there's more foes than just the Predator. Like, there's so much going on. Yeah. Like, the woods are a busy place.
And there are a lot of predators in the woods.
I guess we can get to ratings. It's no surprise, but I'm going to be a 4 out of 4 on
Yeah,
this
no,
one.
This is a 4 out of 4.
This is a straight up banger.
I feel like I was a little too excited to talk about Gators last week. I think Crawl's probably a 3 out of 4, but yeah, Prey, despite what I gave it last week, but it's set in stone. Prey's a 4 out of 4.
Total 4 out of 4.
God, I wish we could have seen it in the theater. I mean, in 10 more years, they'll do a re-release.
They're going to put it back in the theater when they release Prey 2, because they're going to want to make the money they know it's going to make theatrically. So they're going to be like, we'll let you watch Prey first.
I don't think people are making money theatrically the way they used to make money theatrically. I don't think it matters for them anymore. If you subscribe to Disney Plus just to watch Prey once and then you forget to cancel it, that's a couple tickets right there. I mean, the subscription model is ultimately based on you either buying an annual membership and almost never using it. It's a lot like gyms. They want you to get a membership and never come.
Well, and clearly they're also using it for you to accept a bunch of disclaimers before you join, because if you die at Disneyland, they can use your Disney Plus membership. Agreement.
What?
Yeah, somebody got, like, poisoned at Disneyland. You know, they had an allergy-safe meal, and then it wasn't allergy-safe, and then they died, and now in court they're using that they...
What?
They clicked okay to a terms and conditions when they subscribed to a Disney Plus trial.
Well, I'm going to check this on Snopes after we're done, but...
It's true, John. Full fact.
I thought you were going to just get into the fact that, like, selling somebody's data and personal information, you make
oh,
more money
yeah,
off
you
that.
Oh, yeah, you make money off that.
This is why you have to create an account
Facebook
for literally
racket.
Everything. Yeah. What were we talking about? Movies?
I don't know. Prey's great.
Yeah, Prey's great, guys. Let us know what you thought of Prey. Where does it fall in your Predator ranking? Should I make Kim watch Predator 2 tonight? Let us know in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord if you're not in there already, or anywhere you follow us on social media.
You can also join the Nightmare on Film Street Fiend Club on Patreon. We have a community there of really cool fiends. We watch movies. We have watch parties. There's merch. There's tons of bonus episodes. You can get that at patreon.com/nightmareonfilmstreet.
Yeah, I mean, this episode's also coming out right before the Halloween season. We got a really cool podcast series we're doing right now called Trick or Treat, where we either have to watch, we pull a name out of a bag, and we either have to watch a movie we're really excited to talk about or a movie we do not want to talk about.
it's great content.
Yeah, so you can find all of that at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub for supporting the show.
Until next time, I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Get ready to scream, shiver, and maybe even lose a little sleep. It's time for Nightmare on Film Street's 31-Day Horror Challenge. 31 horror movies, 31 days, 31 chances to win a spooktastic prize pack to help keep Halloween alive 365.
This year's prize pack includes goodies from Nightmare on Film Street's new upcoming book, Cocktails from the Crypt, 4K remastered copies of Demons and Demons 2, a Stephen King Blu-ray box set, Spirit Halloween lunch boxes, pumpkin carving kits, Halloween CD soundtracks, including the long out-of-print Monsters Speak, Nightmare on Film Street sticker packs, and more.
The rules are simple. Head over to nofspodcast.com/Halloween. Download the 31-Day Horror Challenge Movie Guide and post your Halloween watch list on social media using the hashtag 31-Day Horror Challenge to make this Halloween a night you'll never forget.
That's nofspodcast.com/Halloween and the hashtag 31-Day Horror Challenge.
What's your favorite scary cocktail?
If you've been searching for the perfect way to elevate your horror movie nights, look no further. Cocktails from the Crypt is here to satiate even the most bloodthirsty killers with a collection of chilling cocktail recipes. Created by us, your favorite podcasters and all-around weirdos, this horror movie cocktail recipe book is packed with movie trivia, cocktail tips, and hair-raising drinks crafted to pair seamlessly with the most iconic movies the horror genre has to offer.
Cocktails from the Crypt features 60 sinister sips, each designed to transport you into the heart of your favorite horror films, including the Texas Chainsaw Margarita, Freddy's Boilermaker, and the Frankenstein Fizz.
Don't miss your chance to be among the first to own this ultimate horror movie night companion. Pre-order Cocktails from the Crypt now from your favorite retailer, like Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Bookshop.org, Chapters Indigo, and Blackwell's. Or just head to nofspodcast.com/go for the links.
And don't forget to follow Nightmare on Film Street on social media for sneak peeks and behind-the-scenes glimpses from the making of Cocktails from the Crypt.
Join us!
Refresh your home today at Menards with window images, blinds, and shades. We have everything you need for updating your window treatments. We carry vinyl, aluminum, and faux wood blinds, cellular shades, and more. Save big on window treatments at Menards. Plus, get them cut to width in-store for free. Visit Menards.com and view our entire selection of window treatments today. Plus, the weekly flyer and other great deals going on now. Save big.